This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. Three people, including a nine-month-old baby, are missing in a flash flood in Bucks County in southeastern Pennsylvania. Upper Makefield Fire Chief Tim Brewer.
We can tell you tragically, we are looking for two children from the same family.
KYW Radio's Justin Udo.
They are walking and wading through the creek, trying to find the people and hoping that there are some survivors, 75 to 100 on those rescue teams out there now.
Late yesterday afternoon, two women and a man died when they were caught in the flood. As much as 7 inches of rain fell in 45 minutes. As a dangerous heat wave continues to blanket the Southwest, people are coping. That's the sound of kids playing at a splash pad in San Antonio, Texas. They are among 110 million Americans who are under extreme heat advisories, watches, or warnings. It's even hotter in Europe, says CBS's Chris Livesay in Rome.
In Italy, 16 cities have been placed under a red alert for the extreme heat. Some regions in the south may even exceed 120 degrees. Surface temperatures are sizzling even hotter. In Spain, thermal imaging resembles the sun as ground temperatures reach a blistering 140 degrees.
The heat has forced some tourist attractions on the continent to close. Severe weather has caused airlines to cancel hundreds of flights into and out of the Northeast today, including at Newark Airport in New Jersey. The French Culture Ministry says actress, singer, and style icon Jane Birkin died in Paris today. Anthony Mason spoke to her in 2018 for CBS Sunday Morning.
She was one of the most photographed women of the 60s. The voice of perhaps that decade's most scandalous song. But Jane Birkin may be best known for the highly desirable Hermes fashion accessory that bears her name.
When I went to America, I don't know what interview, they said, "You mean Birkin like the bag?" So I said, "Oh, another bag is going to sing." What can I say? And I thought, on my obituary, it will say "like the bag" or something.
Jane Birkin was 76. Employees and inmates were evacuated from a minimum security federal prison camp in Sumterville, Florida, early this morning because of a suspected carbon monoxide leak. And this just in, Carlos Alcaraz has beaten Novak Djokovic in five sets for his first Wimbledon title and second Grand Slam trophy. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Right now,
looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Members of Congress are talking again about cutting safety net programs like Social Security and Medicare. Mike Mullen has reaction from Wisconsin.
In the past, Social Security has been targeted by GOP lawmakers who argue reforms are needed to keep it solvent. Now, the House Republican Study Committee proposes changes such as raising the retirement age and reducing benefits for above-average earners. Jim Poplosky, a retiree from Racine, says he worked a lot of overtime in his career to have a big enough monthly payment from Social Security. He worries about cuts creating harm for those who paid into the system like him.
We'd put a lot of senior citizens in poverty if they had less Social Security or worse Medicare or prescription coverage.
Four members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation sit on the Republican Study Committee, including Brian Stile, who represents Poplosky's district. He urges his congressmen and other House Republicans to oppose the plan. The panel's report says the ideas are only modest adjustments. Nancy Altman of the group Social Security Works says the blueprint would be swept up in House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's desire for a bipartisan commission on spending reductions. Down the road, she says it could fast-track cuts during 11th-hour budget negotiations without much debate.
The recommendations would have to come up in the House and Senate. You could not amend it. So it really lends itself for members saying, "Hey, I didn't like that, but I had to do something. I had to vote up or down."
She feels that approach gives Republicans too much cover in forcing proposed cuts that aren't popular in most public polls. Altman's group backs various Democratic proposals to raise taxes on the wealthy to address future Social Security shortfalls. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board today, and it is Thursday at 11, which means it's time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Doctor, are you still in Arizona? Are you? You look like you're not in the heat this week.
Nope, I'm back up north.
All right, all right. Well, Greg, do you have any questions about women's health?
So many questions. No, actually, I do have one. I have one quick thing. No, when I have a question, I look it up. I don't fear these things like other men. I'm a real man. No, wanted to say something to you, Doctor. Is I was driving last Thursday with my mom, and we were listening to the show, and you all were talking. And I said, oh, Dr. Lyerly's on. That must mean it's time for the public service announcement. And my mom goes, I like that.
Yay, Mom. Yep. That's awesome. And Greg, I'm so glad you're here because we're going to talk a little bit about men's health, too.
It's about time.
Every once in a while. All right. So if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. You can also call them in. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can always email us asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. My first question, though, is the new train of thought for some OBGYNs and gynos when it comes to pregnancy, and instead of expecting that the baby's going to come when the baby wants to come, inducing at 39 weeks. This mm-hmm. is a new thing?
Well, I mean, within the last, I don't know, decade-ish. Okay. Yeah. So a big study came out, probably, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, where there was evidence that inducing people at 39 weeks actually reduced the risk of bad things happening after that. So we think babies are done at 39 weeks. Like, they are well enough formed. Their outcomes are really good.
They're cooked.
So if we didn't, they are, I was going to say cooked, but
they're fully,
so
they're
like
fully, not. They're ripe.
Ding.
This one's got a good sizzle.
And, you know, after that, when you think about, like, bad things can happen. And, you know, I always am careful talking with you about pregnancy because I don't want to talk about horrible things. But bad things do happen sometimes in pregnancy. Like, for example, stillbirth. I've mm-hmm. seen people have stillbirth at 39 and 4. And if we had induced that pregnancy at 39 weeks, would that baby be alive? You got to believe that I think about that stillbirth on a regular basis, and those parents yeah. who suffered it think about it every single day. So things like that happen, but so do things like blood pressure problems, gestational hypertension, and preeclampsia, and, you know, other abruption, like other problems can happen. So if the pregnancy is done at 39 weeks, then there are advantages to inducing and trying to achieve a vaginal delivery. It also reduces the risk for a C-section. Babies continue to grow if they stay inside. And if it gets to be 41 weeks, they might get so big that they don't fit through the birth canal. So there are, yeah, your face, your face is like something I don't want to think about.
No, so, I was a 9-pound baby, so I'm preparing that I could have a giant child.
I was a big one too.
Uh-huh. So, and it, sometimes it doesn't matter. It's like the way they come out, or like a shoulder can get stuck under your pubic bone. That can be an issue. Like, there are lots of crazy things that can happen, which is why we can't legislate childbirth. Mm-hmm. We can't legislate pregnancy. We have to be able to make those decisions on an individual basis. But yeah, I mean, it can definitely reduce the risk, but you have to take everybody's circumstances on an individual basis. So what we typically do is we check your cervix right around 39 weeks to see how dilated or effaced are you. And if your cervix seems ripe is the word that we use.
Okay.
If you're ripe enough, then we can proceed. And the chances of success are really pretty significant if you're pretty ripe. If you're not very ripe and we don't have a medical indication, then often we'll wait and, okay, you know, just keep checking and recommend walking and intercourse. Intercourse is great for inducing labor.
Good to know.
Don't look at me when you say that. My
Mike
God.
Samson's going to be very excited about that piece of information.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
There are prostaglandins in semen, and prostaglandins help to soften the cervix and to encourage labor. So
is it an old wives' tale of like the walking on the curb? So you're like creating... I feel like I've seen very pregnant women do that, where it's like one foot on the curb, one foot on the street. And so you're kind of creating like this uneven like waddle. Is that an old wives' tale?
It sounds like a terrible rap song.
I don't know about inducing labor, but the thing I like about that is it helps to move your pelvis around, and that helps to get the baby more situated, okay, and more like, you know, like tucked in and putting more pressure, more of that head pressure down on the cervix internally. So that can certainly help move things along. And we recommend that in labor, if possible, moving around, sitting on a ball, if you don't have an epidural, getting in the tub, being on hands and knees, whatever you can do. Midwives do this really, really well. Doctors don't do it nearly as well, but just, you know, moving our patients around so that they're moving their pelvis and the baby can get really tucked in there.
So I have to admit that, and this is anecdotal and I am not a doctor, but of my friends who've had babies, what feels like when I hear their birthing story, the disproportionate amount of women who've been induced, then had like 30-hour labors only to eventually have to get a C-section anyways, which sounds like a living nightmare. It's like all of the worst things, like a super long labor and a C-section on top of it. And so is that a risk with induction? It's like this kid's just not ready to come out, and we induced anyways, and now this is a scenario. Or is that just random that I have had that many? I would say it's 6 of my friends. That was their birth story.
You have to start with why. Why were they being induced? Was it elective because they were 39 weeks and they were just ready to have their baby? Or was there a medical reason? Often it's really common to have blood pressure problems or advanced maternal age. If you are over 35, maybe you would consider having your baby sooner than later. Okay. So you have to start with that reason, that indication for induction. If it's totally elective and we start an induction, like say we started using some cervical ripening medication and it wasn't working, you can always just stop and go home, sleep. Relax, come back a couple days later, see if your cervix is starting to change. If it's an elective induction, there's no medical reason to do it. We don't have to push it. But if there is a reason that we need to get you delivered, a maternal reason or a fetal reason, then often we'll continue to push. And that's typically where we end up with these long inductions that do have a higher risk of cesarean delivery, often because we start with an unripe cervix that's not quite ready.
Got it. Okay. What are the other, I guess, kind of just to wrap it up, but like, what are the other risks of induction?
Yeah. So failure, like we just talked about, that depends on your cervical status. Once we give you medications, and there are a couple different ways to do it, if we cause too many contractions or if the baby is not tolerating it well, we can cause fetal stress. And we're always watching on the monitor when we are applying an intervention. So if we cause fetal stress and we can't back off on it, we can't stop the induction, then that could end up in a C-section. And then there's a rare risk of infection, especially if we've broken the bag of waters, the risk of infection, the clock kind of starts at that point. So the risk of infection goes up. So I always like to try to get my patient delivered within 24 hours after we break her bag or after her bag breaks on its own.
Got it. So as far as my personal situation, as far as like the expectation that likely at 37 years old, that I should be totally comfortable with being induced at 39 weeks is like, there's no red flags there.
Unless you develop some sort of a pregnancy complication or a blood pressure problem, I don't think you need to worry about it. And I would even say after 37 weeks, which is technically term, that's early term, you can start doing things to kind of bring it on yourself, like having sex, like nipple stimulation. That is a great way. I know it sounds crazy,
I'm not embarrassed. I just love thinking about our listeners right now and nipple stimulation.
Or you can take it to the curb, take it to the street. Oh, that's a new song. I'm writing that song now. That's mine. That's all mine, baby.
That's where Greg goes to distract us from nipple stimulation. But I'm going to bring us back to nipple stimulation.
Have at
it. You can pump, or you can actually, like, your partner can do nipple stimulation. But that causes your body to release oxytocin. And oxytocin is the hormone that you make that causes uterine contractions. You may have heard of Pitocin, which is the medicine that we can give people. That's the man-made version of oxytocin. So if you can make your own oxytocin by, you know, pumping or stimulating your nipples, then you can induce your own labor. Don't do it before 37 weeks, though.
Okay. Yeah, that was the big surprise yesterday, because I had, you know, my maternity plan, my maternity leave, like, I was like, this is the week I'm going to leave. And my doctor's yesterday was like, well, like, she could come sooner than that. So maybe have a contingency plan that, like, Greg and Jane are taking over sooner than the last week of September. So we will see. But if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, we still have one more segment with her. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll take your texts. We'll take your calls. Otherwise, big news with birth control that we'll talk about when we come back. And also another drug for Alzheimer's. So we're going to talk about both of those when we come back for a public service announcement on As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned. To sit and tit and sit and tit chat and smile. Don't send me no doctor.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715 470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifens.com/disclosure.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
He is Greg Bach on the board today, and we are talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly because it is that time of the week when we do public cervix announcement, and we actually have a caller having a question. Mark from the SAC, what is your question for the doctor?
Well, it's not really a question, but I really appreciate the discussion here that I had a human sexuality class way back when. This is back in the late 70s when I was in college, and I learned all the lady parts, and that because I figured, if I'm going to be engaged with women, that I should actually know what's going on rather than just being ignorant about it. And I think it would be a far better world if we introduced young women and young men and at some point in school with comprehensive sex education, because I think we'd have far fewer issues when it comes to, unwanted pregnancies and people wouldn't be so uptight about stuff. That it just amazes me how we're backsliding here. And I smile every time I hear the public cervix announcement.
That's the goal.
Right-wingers and Republicans, but I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for what you're doing here. And I appreciate you coming on and, trying to educate people, because it's something that, unfortunately, Republicans seem to be diseducating people these days.
Well, thanks for the call, Mark. I'm sure that sexuality class served you well in life in more ways than one. I would say, to this day, one of my favorite courses in college was the evolution of human sexuality that took like an evolutionary biology look at all of the things that we do as humans, from marriage to mating to child like rearing and all of the different things, and looked at primates, but also looked at like different kinds of societies, whether it was agriculture or hunting and gathering. It was fascinating. And I think you can buy the book. It was by Malcolm Potts, and it's called Ever Since Adam and Eve. That was our reader. But Ever Since Adam and Eve, The Evolution of Human Sexuality. Can't recommend it enough. It is fascinating. And I am biased because I did work as like a sex health educator for a little while, so I find this stuff fascinating. I know some people blush, but I think it's very important. So I am very happy that you are here, Dr. Lyerly, every week for us to talk about it in a mature, informative way.
Me too. And, as long as we're giving book recommendations, and Mark, thank you for the call and your thoughtful comments. There is a book called The Guide to Getting It On. And it is like the...
I had that book. I had that book at 17. So this obviously was the interest that started early.
Yeah. It's a great book. And it really, it explains all of the things, all of the questions that you have that you didn't know the answers to. They're in this book, and it really teaches you how to, I mean, most of us at some point in our lives have some sort of sexual contact. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to do it well and in a healthy way. And man, if everybody had the strength to ask those questions and to, it's just so hard. It's so hard to talk about these things, but the book is a great way to get that information without having to, you know, ask another person. So The Guide to Getting It On, highly recommended.
It's also thicker than any dictionary you own, I promise.
No.
It is a thick, informative, well-researched book.
No comment.
It is like, it's...
And easy to read. And you can just read it in chapters. Like if there's a certain thing you're interested in, like go to the index, read it. It takes like a minute and then you're like, good.
Got it. All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Which of the two new, the drug for Alzheimer's or the over-the-counter birth control that just got approved, which one should we touch on before we got to let you go?
Oh, Kristen, the pill. Let's talk about the pill because this is such a big deal. Yeah. So, you know, birth control pills have been around since 1960. So for a long time, we have been trying to get some sort of a pill over the counter for a very long time. Almost 100 other countries have an over-the-counter pill option. And we, in January or February, somewhere early next year, are going to have one too. It's the oat pill. We talked about this in the past. The oat pill.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that just happened this morning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the notification just came in this morning. This has been a long time coming, and we knew it had unanimous approval from a pre-FDA board a couple months ago. So we've known that this has been on its way, and it is finally here. And it couldn't come at a better time because, you know, now in the post-Dobbs era, although Republicans want to paint all of us as irresponsible people who just get pregnant and use abortions as birth control, those of us who can get pregnant know that that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
It's not the truth. So this is a game changer because there are a lot of barriers to receiving, to being able to access contraception. And one is you can't afford healthcare. Yeah. So if you can get this over the counter, if it's affordable and available, then people are going to use it. And there is no age restriction on the oat pill. So 15, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, people younger than 18 are having unprotected sex. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get this medication too.
Anything else, people? So January is, it's not going to be available this year, but that's looking like January. Anything else people should know if they are thinking that this would be their chosen form of birth control?
Uh-huh. This is not the pill that we typically think of. So when we think of the pill here in the United States, we think of an estrogen progestin combination birth control pill. This is just the progestin. So it's the mini pill. For those of you who have breastfed, you may be familiar with the mini pill. It's a little pickier. It works by thickening cervical mucus and by preventing ovulation. So this does not cause an abortion. It prevents pregnancy. It's a little pickier because you have to take it at the same time every day. So you'll have to set an alarm on your phone or just have, if you have a regular routine, that makes it a lot easier. The risk of failure is a little bit higher than with the combination contraception pill. So again, using a second method is not a bad idea, like a condom for a second method. That also helps to prevent sexually transmitted infections. So that's always strongly recommended. But overall, it is a very effective form of birth control. And we in the OBGYN community, I would have to say, as a community of women, are thrilled.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Rescuers are searching for three people missing in flash flooding in southeastern Pennsylvania. Three people died yesterday. A fourth body was found today. Upper Makefield Fire Chief Tim Brewer says as much as 7 inches of rain fell late yesterday afternoon.
It just rose that fast, and it was violent, and fast-moving.
It's hot just about everywhere on the planet, says the Weather Channel's Paul Goodlow on CBS's Face the Nation.
Temperatures in Europe already upper 90s, even some temperatures above 100 degrees. And then in the U.S., the southeast, sultry, the east, sultry, stormy in the northeast. The southwest is broiling here in the heat building in the Pacific Northwest, the interior as well.
Police continue to search for the man who they say shot and killed four adults yesterday morning in a small town about half an hour south of Atlanta. Roy Hendricks lives nearby.
I was kind of confused. Why ain't my neighbor stepping on the gas? Well, he ain't stepped on the gas because he been hit.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are rounding out this Friday with our final guest, who I'm very welcoming back. We had Jacob Resnick, investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, on earlier this year when we were talking about the cryptocurrency mine up in, I am now blanking on which city it was in.
Park Falls.
Yes. But now we have you back because this headline caught my eye this week of your most recent story for Wisconsin Watch with the headline, Wisconsin Billionaires Quietly Bankroll Effort to Shrink State's Social Safety Net. You don't say. Well, you know what? I think we all knew that the Republican lawmakers have been trying to squash our social safety net. What seems more breaking news from your report is who is behind that, who is funding it, who would like to see that happen, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. And so I guess not bury the lead. What is the Foundation for Government Accountability and the Opportunity Solutions Project?
Right. Well, FGA is part of the State Policy Network.
Okay.
And which is this kind of sprawling, overarching, conservative network of foundations that have a very strong legislative agenda across the country, of course, federally and in state houses. And they have presence in pretty much all 50 states. FGA is one of the Florida affiliates. In Wisconsin, we know like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, mm-hmm. Badger Institute, these kinds of activist law firms and think tanks are in Wisconsin. But FGA is based in Florida, but they've branched out. And so now they've got lobbyists pretty much in almost every state house. They've got three retained lobbyists in Wisconsin, two of which are in state. They've got staff here. And I think they've got about 115 staff members across the country. And they're bankrolled by tens of millions of dollars from Bradley Foundation in Milwaukee. And also Liz and Dick Uline, who, you know, were also very active in, for example, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And they also get money from other foundations that also fund things like ALEC, who do like the model legislation around the country, mm-hmm. was big as well. And, you know, so that's basically who they are. Opportunity Solutions Network is their lobbying arm, because nonprofits, which are 501c3, are very limited on how much direct lobbying they can do. So they have like a branch, which is a 501c4. Which is also a black hole for where the funding comes, but they share office space. I've got, you know, the business card from the communications director, who's a former comms guy for the state legislature.
Adam Gibbs.
And he has FGA, but then when he testifies, when he does his lobbying, he says, well, I'm actually a visiting fellow for Opportunity Solutions Network. And this is something that actually is a problem on across the political spectrum, across the ideological spectrum, and it's not something that the IRS is just not enforcing.
So that was going to be my question, because I do want to get to the intentions behind, you know, some of the bills that this group has been behind. But the secrecy around their funding, how they're allowed to kind of coexist and have a separation, wink wink, between their lobbying division and their nonprofit division. Unfortunately, that is something that is happening also with left groups as well, right? Mm-hmm. As far as when we think about some of the really big donors and how donor tables and funding kind of happens when it comes to politics, like, it's murky across the board, is my understanding.
Yeah. It is. And there was a Supreme Court case in the last year or so that basically codified the fact that nonprofits don't have to disclose their donors. And, you know, environmental groups like Sierra Club, for example, the early policy came, I think, during the Civil Rights era, when a deep South state, I forget which one it was, I think it might have been Alabama, tried to subpoena for the list for the NAACP. And you know, to try to find who the civil rights activists were in their state, you know, and there was like, there's real privacy concerns. So I mean, this is going back and forth about like donor concerns, the rights of, the rights of affiliations and things like that. But that legal argument has now morphed to allow, you know, super mega donors to hide their money in very politically active foundations like FGA.
Yeah. And so you said it in the article and you said it just now, but because you said part of the reason why getting away with it is because of the underfunding, understaffed nature of the IRS right now. So technically, some of the things they're doing, they shouldn't be doing, because if the IRS was funded and staffed, they would be catching them?
And make it a priority as well.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah. Great. But those 80,000 IRS agents are coming to get you. So good thing we stripped that from happening.
What a relief.
So to back up a little bit, because we in Wisconsin, and I want to get to some of the bills that they've backed and been behind, but because we have Tony Evers, we have split government, they've been less effective here. So in some of the other states where there's not split government, what are some of the other examples where FGA has been behind bills that maybe some of the bills that have made national news?
Yeah, well, there was they were successful in, I think, in Arkansas to loosen child labor protections, for example. There is also in South Dakota as well. It's still in the Missouri House right now. It hasn't gone that far. They've been also very active in election laws in Wisconsin and also in other states about trying to increase voter ID kind of things and different checks. There was an idea of having two different voter rolls here in Wisconsin. One, so if you're taken off the voter roll, you'd be like permanently purged. And so then clerks would have to bring you back. Clerks would actually have to have two rolls, like, oh, you used to be. And, you know, they pushed that idea that was considered problematic by the nonpartisan clerks in Wisconsin. They're also very against Medicare expansion. Medicaid expansion. One of the initiatives that they pushed against was automatic re-enrolling in Medicaid, so that if you're eligible for Medicaid, you have to proactively like go to your state government website. Anyone's ever had to try to access benefits in Wisconsin or other states, it's usually not that simple. And so the argument goes, people who are already have enough problems and are living on the crack, that might not have the means or the education or the time or the wherewithal to do that kind of thing. So they'll just fall for the wayside. I mean, they're very ideologically driven that the state social net is holding people back. And this argument that having unemployment insurance keeps people on the couch. That was an argument that was put forward a lot during the pandemic when there was extra federal, the PUA came through and there was extra money and it was also extended. Although, after the smoke cleared, I was just looking back at the research and found that the worker disincentive kind of scare stories was not borne out in the data. PUA did not keep people from returning to the workplace. Because there were some states that actually...
Can you say that again? Because I feel like it's worth repeating. What did the data say?
That the expanded unemployment insurance benefits were not keeping people out of the workplace. It was other factors, And there were some states that actually... said no to the extra federal pandemic money. And this is what the studies were looking. They looked at the states that said no for the money and the states that kept the money, and they didn't find much difference in their employment rates. So FGA has been pushing this for a long time. As you said earlier, there was a raft of bills, UI overhauls that Tony Evers, the governor, vetoed last session. And FGA's urging Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin have brought many of them back, these same initiatives back, and where they recently passed the legislature, and we'll see what the governor does.
And so you said it before, but just as a reminder, as far as there's certain bills like you said, some of them are voting bills that we see bubble up. Some are Medicaid expansion. Some are... unemployment. So there's been different bills at FGA's. Is the correct way to form, is it that they backed it or that they drafted it? Because like you said, Alec as an organization is someone who just like writes these state bills and then shops them around and like some words get changed. Is that what this group is doing? Or is it more just, hey, you should look at this?
No. That's interesting because I looked for that like model legislation. There is one bill that hasn't advanced very far in this session that would rename the unemployment insurance to reemployment assistance. And that's something that Florida did like in 2012. I found South Dakota also did in like a few years later. So that, it's the same idea that. But I didn't see any evidence of other like cut paste kinds of things. And when I talked to Republican lawmakers, they said, no, that we can't really, that usually doesn't work out very well because the one size fits all. But what they do and what they've been very open about is having these kind of legislative conferences and these education meetings. Well, they'll fly lawmakers, almost always Republicans from different state houses to a 2-3 day summit. The last one was in Nashville. Last December, there was one in Florida. And then they'll have them for 2 or 3 days. They give them dinner. They pay for everything. And then they just say, look, and they talk, and they talk. They get them in our room where everyone agrees with each other. And this is our agenda. And you've probably been hearing from your constituents about, can't find employees, can't find workers, this worker shortage. And then they say, well, these are our solutions. And so when I talk to Republican lawmakers, they a lot of them very earnestly feel like they're responding to their constituents' concerns.
Oh, that's interesting.
But you've got groups like FGA that have the spoon, that, you know, their spoon-fed solutions, which honestly, what we've seen, that, you know, the data and what, when you talk to experts, it doesn't comport.
We're talking to Jacob Resnick, who's an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, about his newest article, Wisconsin Billionaires Quietly Bankroll Effort to Shrink State's Social Safety Net. And that's interesting what you just said, because I always think it's like all of the data that comes out, because what we're still at 2.4% unemployment, which is record unemployment for Wisconsin. We still have a bigger labor participation rate compared to most states, I think, as far as working age people. So in a lot of actual measurements, people are working in Wisconsin, and the problem becomes more like we need more people. And yet the like adherence to, there's some magical group that is just, if we could just get them back in the workforce, these things would fix. And so you're saying, like, it's actually, some of these Republican lawmakers you've talked to have said it just doesn't compute, like that they believe that the latter is the truth.
Well, they'll say, my constituents call me and they say, you know, we have all these vacancies on our main streets and we don't have people. And there are real and they'll even say, and we know that there are demographic reasons for this. And you talk to DWD and they say, exactly, it's demographics, where people are aging out, leaving the workforce. Mm-hmm. People are, and then there's also other structural challenges, affordable housing, transportation, childcare, things like that, that keep people out of the workforce. But FGA and groups like those are not, they're not, interested in any of those kinds of, solutions. Their solution is to cut what's left of the social safety net, and to force people back, you know, work or starve, basically, to put it very cut and dry.
Very cut and dry. So I guess we only have a couple minutes left, Jacob, but what kind of triggered you looking into this as far as, in the, you know, as we said, the last thing you were looking at was crypto mines in Park Falls. So what like brought this to your attention and was like, this is worth more people knowing about?
You know, I've been kind of on a labor beat, and I'm always very interested in the unemployment insurance and like, you know, how much of that is a factor for the, you know, workforce challenges in Wisconsin. And I was in Madison when these bills came up, and I sat in the hearings and I was just really kind of impressed and kind of awestruck how quickly they were rushed through and how this organization that I had never heard of, mm-hmm, had so much clout and pull and had almost backslapping, like, well, who are these guys? And I didn't know at the time when I was sitting in the hearing, but a lot of the leadership and people in the bills, the week before, they'd been there, the lawmakers had been their guests in Nashville, Tennessee for like a 2-3 day, I think it was a 2-day or 3-day summit. What other lawmakers? So they had been well briefed and they already knew what they were going to do. And so when it came down to actually have the hearing, there was very little discussion except from minority party. And so I was like, how has this happened? That's what led me to look into FGA, who these people are and how they operate.
Well, super interesting. Thank you so much for writing the article. Thank you for so much for joining us today. Jacob Resnick is an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kristen. Bye.
All right. We'll be back after the break.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the University University, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Bach.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
39.
Like a dog slaving on the fence line, stretching those wires tight, digging and tapping and sweating in the sunshine. But I get off tonight. I got a date with a girl, a pretty rancher's daughter.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And this might be a record for guests in a row since we've moved to the two-hour schedule.
It's been busy.
It's been busy.
It's been great.
And we're closing out today on a very fun note. Chrissy Kluge, who is the director of the Waukesha County Fair Exec... No, why does it say exec? Waukesha County Fair, right?
Yeah, I'm the executive director.
Executive director. That's yes. Where the EX was. I was like, wait, where's the? Why is there an EX in the end? Executive director, Chrissy Kluge, Waukesha County Fair. How are you?
I'm wonderful, you guys. Thank you so much, Jane and Kristen. I'm so excited to be here with WAUK right downtown Waukesha.
You were just saying that you've like walked or drove by our studio all for years and you didn't even know we were here.
Knew you were here, but not specifically on air here, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
You know, everybody's got offices located in different areas. You just never know.
Yeah, absolutely. So Waukesha County Fair, July 19th, coming up.
Yes.
You were just saying, I was like, is this like stress time a little bit?
It is the we're in the thick of it. It's the heat of the moment. It's the calm before the storm or the chaos before the storm.
Sure.
Let's
all
go
of
with
it.
Yeah, let's go with all that. So we're super excited. The Waukesha County Fair is running July 19th through the 23rd. So kicking off next week, Wednesday already, everybody. It's the 181st anniversary of the Waukesha County Fair.
Wow.
Yeah. Kristen, we're the oldest county fair in the state and the largest event held right here in Waukesha County. And when we are able to say that over the 5-day fair, on average, we interact or impact over 130,000 people. It's pretty exciting to say.
That is awesome. I didn't know it. 181?
Mm-hmm.
That is wild. How long have you been the executive director or involved with the fair?
Yeah. So this is my 20th year.
Oh, my God.
In a variety of ways. So just really, really fortunate for all the experiences. And I think just like any opportunity, it's about the people.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't realize is the Waukesha County Fair is actually a nonprofit 501c3 organization that plans, executes, and makes the fair happen each and every year for the community at large. So when everybody sees what happens, it's a volunteer-based group. So I answer to a 15-member volunteer board of directors.
Okay.
Who work and plan year-round to help bring these great things right here to our community for everyone to come and enjoy. And let me tell you, we got some great things in store July 19th through the 23rd this year.
Okay, well, let's hear about them.
Yeah, so... Well, I guess let's kick this off. So when it comes to specials, next week, Wednesday, July 19th, who doesn't love a deal? And next week is July, it's National Corn Dog Day. So we have, so we're doing $3 corn dogs at the fair, but really it's pick and save day for us. And what's better way to save? So it's $3 to get in, $3 to park, and it's one ticket rides. Each ride is only $3. What a steal of a deal, right?
Yeah.
So we're calling it Triple Play Wednesday. So come on out for all the fun and be able to check out just the key components of the fair. And then there's so much that's free with your fair admission, right? So this year we have incredible special events. One of them is the Nerveless Knox Jetpack Flying Water Circus. Jane, you guys, say that 10 times fast.
Ooh. I was going to say,
I'm intrigued.
So is this like guys on jetpacks like doing... acrobats in the air?
I mean, it's the similar concept. So there's going to be a big pool that's going to be installed starting on Monday. And then these acrobats, we fill the pool with water, and there's a jet ski that propels these acrobats up in the air with water power. And they go up and they do flips, tricks, and stunts in the air. So it's certainly like a must-see, must-attend opportunity. And, you know, it's with our partnership with Tom's Heating right here downtown Waukesha that we're able to bring this come together. So we're really excited for that. That certainly adds the wow factor amongst many other fair favorites and things that are to come. But yeah, so people can check that out free with your fair admission. Shows all through the day. You know, and we didn't talk about this, but the best place to find all the details is WaukeshaCountyFair.com.
Okay.
Yep. And then, of course, our social media page. But I know you guys, WAUK, you guys are super involved with a lot of things. Friday Night Live, we saw you down here.
Yeah.
So recently, June is National Dairy Month. And recently, we bring animals downtown Waukesha, start talking about the fair in June every year. The WAUK booth was right next to us.
Nice.
So I was able to see your team there, which was fantastic. And then... yeah, but let's kick it back. So July 19th, right? That's our kickoff day.
Yep.
That's that Triple Play Wednesday with special things in store. And even more special events, we have our pig, goat, and duck races that are free with your fair admission once you're on the grounds. Who doesn't love that, right, Jane?
Who's the easiest to corral of those three animals? Like, who's, you know what I mean? So it's pig, duck, goat.
Yep.
Which one actually sticks to the course and is the fastest?
So, okay, the best part, these animals, they come from an air-conditioned trailer out and through the circle, the ring, and they want to get back in the air conditioning as fast as possible.
Got it. Okay.
So I think it's kind of a race between them all. But I would say the pigs, they got that adrenaline rush behind them, so they just keep on going.
Okay.
But when you see ducks waddling and they're coming along, they go a lot faster than people realize. Which I think is the fun part in this stuff. So the coolest part. So this pig, goat, duck race group that we bring in, they're with Pleasure Valley Farms. They're actually a Wisconsin-based farm celebrating 108 years as an active family farm, which is incredible. So excited to bring that. Also on Wednesday, Seeing is Believing at the 2023 Waukesha County Fair. That's our theme this year. And we are bringing it with all the things, bringing out all the steps. And so we're bringing in the Jolly Giant Stilt Walkers with us this year. So people come to the fair on Wednesday, see the Stilt Walkers, and be able to interact in all the ways. Have you seen Stilt Walkers recently?
I haven't, but I am very tall. So I recently had a friend who tagged me in a picture of a Stilt Walker and said, look, it's Kristen.
It's you. okay. Well, maybe I think she needs to come out and like do a little competition of who's taller. I don't know. I love it. So, yeah.
So we only have a couple minutes left. So make sure, I want to make sure that like everything kind of what's the big headliner for the weekend as far as like the must that you haven't mentioned yet? Like what do you have to see?
Yeah. So I guess when it comes to Waukesha County Fair, music is key, right? So for us, our Miller Lite main stage is certainly the everything. So again, the Waukesha County Fair presented by Impro Corporation, July 19th through the 23rd. On Thursday, July 20th, we are welcoming country band Low Cash to the stage at 8 p.m. On Friday, July 21st, we're bringing 90s rock. Who doesn't love that? So we got POD and Puddle of Mud. That's also going to kick off at 8 p.m., right? Saturday, this is a biggie. So Saturday starts at 5:30, Saturday, July 22nd, and it is a 4.5-hour main stage starting at 5:30 with Winger, Warrant, and Skid Row. So if anybody likes the 80s rock, that direction, that is the night to be there. And then Sunday, we have the Love Monkeys at 2 o'clock. So Sunday, July 23rd, it's Sunday fun day. Who doesn't love it? The best days of the fair, enjoying all the sunshine, all the things. But there's great deals you can find on our website, online. There is a deal every single day. But, you know, so when it comes to family friendly, hitting all ages, we pull out all the stops and we work really hard to make it happen.
Say the website one more time.
WaukeshaCountyFair.com. It's the place to check out Seeing is Believing at the 2023 Waukesha County Fair, July 19th through the 23rd.
Jane, are you going with me?
National Corn Dog Day? Are you kidding?
I think we're going to get a corn dog.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Christy Gloogie is the executive director of the Waukesha County Fair. Good luck in the final preparations. Have so much fun. I hope for good weather for you guys, and we will see you there. And we will see you on Monday when we do this all over again. Thank you for texting, calling, being part of the show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Well, I know Monday morning I'll be back on the fence line, but it'll be all right. 'Cause that pretty little
girl says she's gonna be all mine. I'll see her next Friday night.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.